بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين وقال تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم Listen, dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. And we know the journey of this worldly life is very, very short. Compared to the journey before we came into this world, the journey ahead in the qabr, the day of qiyamah. This is the shortest journey. The entire journey ahead depends all upon the amal we carry out in this world. And the reality is in my life also, every day we wake up, and every day is between hope and fear. That today I hope everything goes well in my life. I have a hope that possibly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take pity upon me. My salah will be on time, my Quran tilawat, my dhikr, my ma'amulat, my behavior, my akhlaq. We're hoping every day things come right. That today my nafs will behave, I will behave. It will be a smooth journey for today. So we have hope and we have fear also. We should be having the fear. That today I should not do such a'mal that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ihsas, that feeling, that consciousness will come into my life, into my heart. That every step of my life today, because I am a slave of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, which is the highest stage I can reach. Allah may explain when it comes to our worldly life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us just management skills. Where we can manage our lives. But we are not so to say the boss of our lives. We don't make the final decisions. Final decision is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much of free will and free choice, I begin to think or believe within myself that I am the boss. I call the shots. If things don't work out my way, then I flare up, I get upset. When it comes to my wife, my children, those working under me, doesn't go my way, then I feel now, what is the problem? But in reality, we are all the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we hear from Hazrat Wala all the time that this is the highest stage a person can reach, maqam of abdiyat. I begin to believe within myself, in reality, I'm only a slave. The du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we hear the beautiful words, ana abduk, wabna abdik, wabna amatik, nasiyati biyadik. Oh my Allah, I'm only your slave. You are the supreme master. I am a child, a son of your slave. I am a son of a slave girl of yours. Slave upon slave, slavery upon slavery. But then too, in my daily life, how do I carry myself out? As Hazrat Wala says, every day we are walking our own pul sirat. Every day when I wake up in the morning, I'm already walking the pul sirat of my life. If today I pass comfortably, in such a way that I took out my day as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if tonight I shall close my eyes, then inshallah on the day of Qiyamah to pass the pul sirat will be easy for me. But every day I'm treading the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hope and fear, hope and fear. If I keep this in my mind, this will keep me humble, keep me small. Beautiful incident is mentioned to understand that I'm only a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how things around me are making me believe otherwise. He was a real slave at one time. To a master. So every night after Isha Salah, he would ask his master for leave. And he would tell his master that, let me go out for the night, when I return in the morning, I will give you a gold coin. So the master thought it's a very cheap deal, gold coin, Kruger coin every day, why not, let him go. So every day he would come back in the morning, early part of the morning, and he would give his master a gold coin. After some time, this thought came in the master's heart, what is my slave doing? Is he stealing it? Maybe he's working in some way, the pay is very good. The whole day he's slaving over here, night time he's got a better job. So he follows the slave of his. And he sees in the dead of the night, the slave goes into a qabristan. He goes into one corner. He opens up his musalla where nobody can see him. And he begins his tahajjud salah as a slave before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Entire night comes out like this. And the master is looking for one corner. Just before the end of tahajjud time, the slave makes his salam, he raises his hand, and he makes dua. That, oh my Allah, I am your slave. And you are my supreme master. Ya Allah, give me one gold coin for my fake master. And from the sky, one golden coin will fall into his hand. Every night this was his ma'mul. So one of those nights, when the master was there, and he was observing this, he tallied, but he delayed, and he came out from the Qabristan, but he came out into a different place. When the slave was in Salah, he was, what do you say, he was moving place to place. When he came out, he sees somebody on horseback, he asked that person, I'm looking for a certain town, city where I stay. He says, you are 2 months journey from here. How come you landed up here? He says, go back to the Qabristan, tonight wait there, tomorrow you get back to your hometown. He goes back that night, and he sees his slave entering once again. The entire night in tahajjud. And towards the end he raises his hand and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the slave perceives somebody in the Qabristan. And he looks to the corner to one side and he sees his master there. Then he raises his hand, Ya Allah, the secret is out. Now that ta'alluq, that muhabbat and that love, and what I enjoyed, the lazzat of enjoyment of being your slave has been revealed now. Ya Allah, call me to you now, to my supreme master. This is what we want, my dear brothers. We want to become, enjoy the lazzat of ibadat in sajda, in Quran, in zikr. That becomes better than everything else. For the heart to become so clean, that now I become a true slave of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But as we refer to Hazrat wa Allah, this will come after the mujahada is made upon the nafs. And Hazrat tells us so many things that are taking us away from the rahmat of Allah, barakat of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different things in our life, different chores in our life. In my own life also, they are taking me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to make ilaj of these things? How to remedy the things in my life? Should not be that I reach the qabr, and I don't even realize, before I reach the qabr, I don't realize or understand that a hand that was feeding me every day. I just ate, I drank, I slept, I enjoyed my life, and I reached the qabr. There's no flavor, no taste, I didn't even taste the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these things, certain things in our lives, Hazrat Wala says that, are stealing our time. When it comes to sport, which Hazrat discusses all the time, where they're following certain clubs, and seeing how much the player is being bought for, or purchased for, and how many goals he scored, etc. These things are stealing our time. How many youngsters we find among the boys who are sitting and they're talking on the masjid bench outside, stealing their time away. Whereas they say that the qabr is sundukul amal. The qabr is a box of amal. How much we will do now will fill that box up. This recently I understood when doctor was telling me, he says to understand what is the sunduk, box of amal. So he says on a lighter note, he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wired women's brains a bit different and men different. So the wiring of their brains is crisscross. They can multitask. They can do many things one time. And we know when the masurat get together, and when they are speaking in one gathering, how many things they speaking one time? The recipes, children, this and that, and schooling and madras, everything comes all at one time. But they can follow every conversation. And for us, our mind is already paining now, which way this conversation is going. So he says, Allah Ta'ala has made them like that. That they have little boxes in their brains, different topics, subjects, and they can open all one time and discuss. And they'll understand one another. And I'll call you later, I'll take your phone number, and I'll take their contact, whatever it is. But you see, when it comes to men, he says we have different wiring of our brains. We have also little boxes. Sport, politics, cell phone, and different things. We have little subject matters. So when men get together, then we open one box. Let's speak about the weather. Now we'll go through the entire world's weather, but it won't change the weather. Then we go through politics, analyze every country of the world, but it won't change anybody's hukumat or vote. But I feel now, because I'm so expert in the field, somebody might hear me out, nobody heard. But I feel I will change the condition of the world by become such an expert in politics. So that box I will open and I will close it. Then somebody is ghibat, somebody is slandering, that how that person came up in business overnight. Where he got the money from, now to go to into his bank balance, what happened there? Well, he won't affect anybody. So little boxes here we open up, we begin to discuss, once we finish, we close this. And then he sees all the little boxes. He says, for the men now, the wiring is different. He says, there we have the biggest box in the brain, which is called the nothing box. See, that's the box we all love to jump into it. Somebody will phone, ask, what are you doing? Nothing. He says, we just love doing nothing. And the wife doesn't like the nothing word. He said, do some work. You're just sitting here doing nothing. You're trying to finish all the work to get to do nothing. That's the best box we like. Don't trouble me that time. He says, that's the box of nothing we've got to fill with everything. That nothing box. That's the box now where everything is khali and empty. That's the time we find our kabir, our mashayikh, our sheikh. Every second, every minute. 5 minutes Quran tilawah, some zikr, sitting in the car. Every minute. Salah, some masnood dua, they're learning something. Filling that box, filling that box. There's no vacuum. Something has to fill it. So the nothing box we have should not be, we go in the qabr also, there's nothing there. This slave was filling every day one point from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, filling his box of the qabr. So the nothing box, how we can fill the nothing box with all the a'mal and draw from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures. The rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Hazrat Wala is saying that right now the ummah is thirsty for the rahmat of Allah. Our lives, we are thirsty for the rahmat of Allah. For the grace of Allah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we can become the means of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending upon this earth, upon myself, those around me. Everywhere we go, Ulama explain, every home right now there's an explosion. How many men don't want to go home? How many wives are waiting for their husbands to come also? There's no rahmat left. It's all just a chase. The children are afraid also. Daddy will come, he's going to shout. Or mommy is going to say this. The workers also, they know the boss is going to come. Ask many a young boy also, the father retired. Yeah, he comes 10 o'clock to make a noise. He comes to make a noise in the shop. To jack everybody up. So nobody's waiting for anybody. There's a need of rahmat, mercy, to draw the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much am I going to become that means and sabab of drawing the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? For myself, for the ummah at large. This box that we have in our lives, how much we're going to fill it with those a'mal that will draw the rahmat of Allah for myself, for my wife, for my children, for the ummah, for humanity. So the day of qiyamah. That will happen now when I will present myself and come to these gatherings, understand the purpose of my life. Understand correctly what I have to do with my life. Make the niyyat of my life. Much of the deen we have, my dear brothers, unfortunately, we have taken it from society and culture. Whether it comes to hijab and parda, we have taken it to be because this is a culture, and the way it is done, so it is correct. When it comes to nikahs and functions, because this is the norm, so it's correct, this is shariat. That is why we have to come back to the original source every time. Understand correctly from the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum how they understood Sharia and Deen. And how they drew the rahmat of Allah for themselves and for entire humanity. And how we should continue with this to make my own islah, to become a means of rahmat and a mercy for mankind. And here we look from Hazrat Wala also. When we speak about rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the rahmat? We translate as mercy. They say even this translation is a crippled translation. We can't even translate what is the rahmat in English. We say rahmat, mercy. But Hazrat teaches us among the tafsir, the interpretations of rahmat, faraqi ma'ishat. When a person now will preserve and get one drop of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will open doors of rosy upon him, sustenance. Halal, wholesome, on his plate in front of him, Allah will give it to him. He secure one drop of the rahmat of Allah, his dunya can't get done. Now he's free for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you know, from morning to evening, ulama explain a person now, that person is living in the boundaries of Allah, whose masjid is near the home, and his shop and business is near his home also. He can go for Fajr Salah, he can come home, have a wholesome breakfast, no tension, his job is nearby. Back for Zuhr Salah to the masjid, back home for lunch, he's down in the ni'mat of Allah. How to get the rahmat of Allah? That one drop I need to get from Allah, that my rosy will open up, my dunya kaam is taken care of. Allah will make it easy for me. Today I went to school, and they taught me in the first day, that what will you become? What does it mean? If you don't listen to what we tell you what to become, then you die of poverty. So listen to us. Already the mind is set. If I don't listen to them, how am I going to eat? What am I going to do? As if now this is wahi from Allah, that you will have to do it in our way, there is no other way. That is why we have to come to the mashayikh to understand deen in its pure form. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how did they earn? How did they draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We hear about recession, we hear about unemployment. What is the shari'i solution? Go back to the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. One drop of the rahmat of Allah, my dunya kaam is done. Second tafsir of rahmat, tawfiq ta'at. Allah will give you divine ability to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I got one drop of the rahmat of Allah, Allah says that you will be my obedience 24/7. Even if you want to run away also. So he gives up the same. Allah ta'ala will make jazb, but Allah will pull you. Who can pull you away? Nobody can pull you. But now you're already in the system of Allah. Because you put yourself forward. You made the effort, you came all the way. You said by the mashayikh, you presented your heart to draw the rahmat of Allah. The drop of rahmat fell into the heart. The heart became an oyster, became a pearl. So he says, they become in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh al-Hadith of Muhammad Zakariya sahab rahmatullah alayh. When Allah wants to keep you in His mercy, when Allah wants to keep you in His ita'at and obedience and protect you, Allah divinely will assist you. They say he was coming from Saharanpur to Delhi to the printing press to print kitabs. The Shaykh couldn't read Hindi, couldn't read English. So the hot day, 45-50 degrees, and he saw the vendor there selling some juice or something, whatever it was, what he saw. But he couldn't read the board. So he goes up to him. He's a Sikh that was selling. So he tells him that, make me some juice, please. He says, I don't sell to you. He says, but I'm thirsty. Sell me something, something to drink. I'm very thirsty. So I don't sell to you, Jao. He says, I've got the money. Do you see? Give me something. He says, I will not sell anything to you. Move it up from here. So he went away. Then he meets somebody on the platform, the trail platform. He asks him, Hazrat, kya hua? What happened? He says, I asked a brother to serve me something to drink, some juice or something. He refused to. He says, Hazrat, Allah shukr, Allah's rahmat on you. You're selling liquor. You're selling sharab. Seek. See the money in the person's hand. Say, I don't want to sell to you. So, fiqh ta'ah. Allah will keep you in His rahmat and mercy. That is everyone, my dear brothers, who is not in need of the rahmat of Allah. Who doesn't need the rahmat of Allah? Yalla, I need this. So automatically, by default, I become an obedient servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I go home, by default, I'm a good husband. How many a wife would like that she has a husband like that? They be automatic now, she just presses the button and he behaves. Press the button, he keeps quiet. Press the button, he'll do the work. Allah will make us like that. We'll get that no complaint certificate. No objection certificate from our wives also. That is why Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi says, we found the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of them became walis of Allah because of making sabr upon the tongues of their wives. They made that sabr. They carry on smiling. Hazrat says, carry on smiling, open your chest, give me your best shot. Give me your best shot, whatever you need to say. Because I'm in the rahmat of Allah. The third tafsir of rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, maghfirat bila hisab. Allah will forgive you, no accountability. No accountability. Man nuqisha udhiba. Whose record Allah will open up, definitely he will be punished. We know when we're going through the customs at the airport, and how that official is standing over there. How we are so trained, we didn't see him. He's non-existent. And when we pass also the official, custom official, and we see the doors there, as if now there's a door to Jannah. He won't even look back also. Hadith, I was making dua, Baytullah. His last dua before leaving back home from Hajj, and he makes dua, Ya Allah. When I come to the custom official, Ya Allah, make him blind. Last dua is me, he mustn't see me. Qiyamah's day, my dear brother, Allah says, because you my rahmat, maghfirat. Bila hisab. Your books are not opened. Don't worry about it. Just go through. Traffic officer just stops us. License, please. And I forgot my license. Oh, it's expired. Whole holiday is spoiled. Qiyamah today, once an alim came to Darul Uloom and he says that In the world right now, this word security is such a powerful word they've now coined. And the way they use the word security, he says, just to the word of security, what can they do? He says, wo kapre bhi utar sakte hain. They can remove your clothing also, you're a security threat. They can come into your home also, check under your mattress, check into your wardrobes. There's nothing you can hide in the name of security, you're a threat. He says, Allah is showing us a little bit sample on Allah's security in the day of Qiyamah. What security that will be? Allah has to scan the heart, and now the heart will speak, the thighs will speak, the hands will speak, they will turn, stay to witness against us. What are you going to say to them, my dear brothers? But one drop of the rahmat of Allah, maghfirat, forgiveness, no hisab, no accountability. We can skip and jump and run to Jannah now. We pass through it. And finally, fat tafsir, dukhul Jannah. Now entering into Jannah. Now entering into Jannah, never to come out again. This rahmat, this mercy, cleaning of the heart, ma'abud of Allah, the abdiyat, slavery, to enjoy a life like that, like how the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are enjoying. How are we going to get this, my dear brothers? Where are we going to get it? That's why we are sitting here with open hearts. That, dear Allah, that one drop of mercy, may it please fall into my heart. The amal, which ulama explained to us also, wait for own islah. I'm not doing these things, I start doing it. So I can draw the rahmat of Allah. My own self, the weakness in my life. The simple amal of rahmat ulama explained. 4 rakat sunnat salah before asr. For many of us and myself, it's like I never read it in years possibly. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, a person who reads 4 rakat sunnat salah before the farz of asr, Allah's special mercy upon him. Special mercy. And for myself, more qurbani now. I'm making my qilula. I have to wake up a little earlier so I get that 4 rakat. If I'm in the shop now, this closed 5 minutes earlier, Allah's rahmat and mercy is waiting for me. If I got that rahmat, my rosy will open up. Allah will give divine ability. Maghfirat, no isab, dukhul jannat. Ya Allah, I'm running for it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I've got to make the jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum. I've got to make that mujahada. To preserve the rahmat so it comes upon me, then spill over into my family. My heart becomes clear and clean. And I enjoy my life also. That fear and hope is in my life. People around me are also enjoying their lives. Then the entire environment becomes like the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The 4 rakat salam and ibrad before asr. Allah my Hazrat says it also. Durood Sharif. Person makes one durood. He says one durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10 rahmat descend upon him. 10 mercies upon him. Hazrat says now, this is now the biggest deception. Such a simple amal with so much benefit. One durood sharif and 10 rahmats are pouring upon me. One durood. And 10 mercies are falling upon me. We just want that one drop. We get more, alhamdulillah. Even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that no one will go into Jannah without the rahmat of Allah. O Nabi of Allah, even you, even me. Without the rahmat of Allah, no one can go into Jannah. So how much we need the rahmat in this world and in the akhirat also. So all these amal, durood sharif we have, 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, at least I started keeping in mind, Ya Allah, I need your rahmat for today. I have that hope, I have that fear, whether my deeds will come out right. So much planning I'm doing, but we know the planning doesn't go according to my plan. Decision is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to durood sharif, there also, Nabi alayhi salam mentioned also when it comes to the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person sits in the masjid from salat between two namaz, ready for the next namaz. The malaika make dua for him. Allahumma aghfir lahu warhamhu. Allah forgive him, Allah have mercy upon him. Today we know when we come to the masjid, I want to be the last one in, the first one out. Hazrat says, spend your time in the masjid, in the company of the malaika. They are making dua for you, free of charge. Allah have mercy upon him, forgive him. Here you get the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sitting in the house of Allah. Sitting here, Allah will open up your rizq. How many businessmen say that I was busy in the masjid making zikr, Quran, tilawat? And when I went back to the shop, the whole queue was waiting outside. See, Allah's rahmat came today. Because other shops are open, but you know, they want to buy from my shop. Why? Allah's system. In the rahmat of Allah. You secure the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Where sometimes you lost something, you came from another avenue. Allah ta'ala sent it to you. Rahmat, whether it comes to your rozi, whether it comes to spirituality. Whether a person now wants the rahmat of Allah on his spiritual food, his spiritual sustenance also. Hazrat says that now, when Allah wants you, Allah Ta'ala will send his walis to you to pick you up. That now the time is up for him. He sent you with the rahmat of Allah, different avenues. He started his durood sharif. He's doing early for asar namaz and all his namazes. He's sitting in the masjid also. They go and pick him up. The Hazrat gives us an example of that ant. This thing in Iraq or Iran. They wanted to see the green dome. So the ant stood on its hind legs, raised his hands, and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I want to see the green dome of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but my weak and short legs, I won't reach Madinah Munawwara. So the desire was in the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired a pigeon of the haram of Madinah Munawwara. He's a friend of mine in Iraq, and pick him up and bring him. So the pigeon came, it landed on the tarmac, and it told the ant that get on. That now you can board, but hold tight. There'll be a bit of turbulence, but you reach your destination. You reach your destination of Madinah Munawwara. In the same idea, whereas a person comes in the rahmat of Allah, his spiritual food also Allah will take care of it. Allah will send the wali of the zamana to go pick him up. A certain friend of mine, the time is right, go pick him up now. Open his spiritual sustenance also. So the durood sharif we have, our 4 rakat salah before asr salah. Nabi alayhi salatu salam, a special dua of rahmat for that husband and wife. Who wake up early part of the morning for tahajjud salah. And he will sprinkle water on his wife and wake up for tahajjud namaz. Or she will sprinkle water upon him to wake him up for tahajjud namaz. May Allah have mercy upon this couple. So there also you get the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But here also there is one shart and precondition. They say, now only sprinkle water on her if she allows you to. And in the same way, Masturat also shouldn't just go sprinkle water on him. It might be a problem after that. But with mutual consent, Allah have mercy upon them. A man walks into the house, he sees his wife, he smiles at her. And she smiles at him, they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles down upon them and fills that womb with rahmat and barakat. Because this womb, this muhabbat, this love. Rahmat comes in that womb. Things open up for them spiritually, in their physical health. Quran tilawat now will be established in that home. Ta'lim will take place in that home. Then home will become a home of rahmat and mercy. From there they'll be distributing. When it comes to business also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for that person. When he sells, he's soft, samhan. When he buys, he's soft, overlooks the person. When he gives a loan, he's soft there also. When he demands his loan, he's also soft. May Allah have special mercy upon him. Now when he's buying, customer comes and he's tired. And he says, make it fast, you don't want it, move it up or take it. But he's soft. He sees to him. Person is buying also. He's soft. Doesn't squeeze the person for a price. Sahaba Ikram used to give more. When he's asking for his money, there also he's soft. But now he's evading the person, doesn't pay the money. But Allah Ta'ala says, you're soft with him, Allah have mercy upon you. So like this also a person will enjoy the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Ar-Rahimun, Mayirhamuhum Ar-Rahman. That those who will have mercy in their hearts upon mankind, Allah will have mercy upon them. We see the cry of Hazrat Wala when he comes to the Ummah at large. Who is there to lift their hands and make dua for the Ummah? Whether they be in India, whether they be in China, for mankind. Have mercy upon the people of the earth, Allah will have mercy upon you. Irhamu man fil ard, irhamku man fil sama. If you will have mercy upon the ones around you, it should not be in my life somebody is crying because of my actions. Somebody is crying because of my zulam. But we become the means of mercy. Hazrat Wala says, how many of us are talking, analyzing what's happening in the world with the virus outbreak, whether it is oppression taking place there. But how many people are taking out time after salah, 2 rakat salah, and make dua for the ummah? Take pity upon the ummah. Take name of different countries. Make dua for them. Allah change the halat in the world. But we are talking about them, listening to news reports, more and more and more. We know the entire situation. But how many of us are taking out that amount of time that we take to read the newspaper to make dua for them? Different countries. This is rahmat and mercy. If you want the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then you have to do the amal of rahmat. This might be a burden to get this type of temperament, to learn this, to understand this. When you sit in the company with the pious, you will see how they make dua, how they raise their hands. The level of abdiyat and slavery before Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the humility. This will rub off onto us. That is why we come to these gatherings, to secure the rahmat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala when we go back home also. There's some change comes into my life. That I don't regard myself to be now the boss of the house. I'm a khadim, I'm a slave. I walk with the rahmat of Allah. Distribute the rahmat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. In Surah Al-Dukhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ. When he came to those that had no rahmat of Allah, no mercy, they were oppressors. And they left this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said upon their demise, even the skies and the earth didn't cry upon their demise. It was a good riddance, they are gone. But those on the contrary, that will draw the rahmat of Allah, they will live in the rahmat of Allah, they will distribute the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ulama explain mufassirin say, upon their demise, even the skies and the earth will cry out. Because the fragrance of the good amal should pierce the skies, go through. Malaika say, enjoy the skies, they should enjoy it. So may Allah Ta'ala make us among those 90 brothers. They have rahmat upon ourselves, first of all. That, dear Allah, I have to come right in my life. That I have some fear and hope in my own life. That I bring this amal and exert myself as much as I can. That I become a means of rahmat for myself, my family, the ummah at large, and for entire humanity till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala accept us.